Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media. I'm Scott McNally, and today we're back on the road to North Americans, this time with super heavyweight Gary Turner. Guys, I'm pumped for this show. We've watched Gary through his offseason. He broke the 300-pound mark this year, and now I'm excited to see him diet down along with some of the greatest amateur athletes that our continent has to offer, all vying for their pro card at NPC North Americans, taking place September 2nd through the 5th. Out in Pittsburgh. This will be the third installment of our show. I wanted to give a special shout out to everybody over at the Facebook group Bodybuilding by Bodybuilders. You guys are freaking awesome. I love your positivity, and a special shout out to both Nate and to Sid. Thank you guys for your suggestions, and thank you everybody else who's been giving us suggestions. If you have any suggestions, anybody you would like to see on the program, definitely let me know. All of our programming is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES for some additional savings. Plus, that helps to support all of our programming. They've got fantastic products, everything from proteins to intro workouts, pre-workouts, all the way to health supplements and more. So definitely check them out. Also check out GetAzoth.com. Fantastic nootropic blend. Definitely something that I use on a regular basis. And it helps me, as they say, to get more shit done. If you guys enjoy the show, then do me a favor, gently tap the like button. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do, because we have several programs coming out each week, including this one, which we're scheduling every Tuesday. All right, guys, let's get to Gary Turner. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Think Big Bodybuilding Media. I'm Scott McNally, and we are back on the road to North Americans. And with me today is super heavyweight Gary Turner. What's up, man? How you been?
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
Dude, thank you for being back. I just realized, I was looking at our previous show. Would you believe it's been 5 months since you've been on the program now? Has it been that long?
I just crossed 290 at that time.
Well, we did. We did one when you hit about 290, and you were telling us, and that was our segment we call Huge as Fuck. Then after said, we got to have you back after you crack 300. And then, so we had you back, you were like 302, something like that.
I hit 310, but it wasn't good. And I maintained, it was tough.
Okay.
Like, I didn't feel good. And it didn't stick around for very long either. You know, just get up cardio a little bit, came back down. I maintained between 300 and 305, mainly 303 to 305 for about 2 to 3 months.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, you inspired a lot of people. You inspired me, as a matter of fact. I hadn't tried to like actively put on weight in a while. And I usually walk around at like 200, 205. I can, it's not bragging compared to you or a lot of the guys that are going to be competing at North Americans, but I'm sitting at a comfortable like 222 now. So you're in part to thank for that. So thank you.
I appreciate it. You're welcome. It's just, you don't have to be a super heavyweight to understand, you know, the bodybuilding aspect. And like we've talked about many times, a lost aspect to the whole thing is the whole, getting bigger in the off season, coming down, you know, for the show, and people just really like the whole staying ultra lean thing became really big takeover. It's the Instagram thing, but you know, everybody has to find where their happy medium is. For me, even after the show happens, I don't know if I'll go that high again. I don't need like much more size. I really need refinement. I am getting, I will be 33 at the end of this year, and I don't really know how long I'll be bodybuilding much longer. I definitely want to give it till 35. But after that, you know, you know your limitations, you know, things get a little hairy when, you know, especially when you've been using gear for a long time and you get near 40 and you're very heavy.
Yeah.
You start hearing bad things about that. So you got to be cautious. There's a reason why guys like Branch Warren, Jay Cutler, you know, the bigger guys, they right when they hit 40, they retired. You know, they downsized, you know, and they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, you don't react as a 40-year-old the same way that you do as a 25-year-old, even in terms of like side effects from gear.
Sure.
You know, so it's just been wear and tear. It also depends when you got into it. I got into this, I started lifting at 18, and I started using gear at 20. So it's been a long time. It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, on and off, you know, responsibly. But how responsible can that be? Because honestly, it's, you know, we're all abusing this shit. It just matters to what degree and how you, your genetics are with absorbing that. And, you know, some people might die on a little bit and some people can handle a lot. And, you know, that's a dice that you roll every time.
Yeah. And regardless, man, I'm sure that no matter what you do moving forward, I can't imagine you ever stopping actual bodybuilding. Maybe you as a competitor, maybe that'll change, but I know you, I know in your heart, man, this is what you love. I know, you know, I've seen pictures of you in the last couple months during this quarantine, like at home with what looked like just really crappy weights. Like you had a really crappy weight set, and I know that you were still loving it, man. I saw you had your son out there in the garage. You guys were lifting together. Tell me a little bit about what quarantine had been like for you, and are you still in it?
Yeah, well, I'm in New Jersey for anybody who didn't know, but we're still locked down from the gyms. We just started, like tomorrow the barbershops will open up salons. We just last week opened up restaurants to eat outside. So, you know, you can go outside and you can eat. You have to make like a reservation for it because obviously there's not a lot of seating.
Yeah.
We've had takeout obviously before that. But it's been really locked down. The governor is very, very cautious and our numbers look very good. So things are looking up. However, the governor is very cautious over the gyms as well as like indoor dining because they're inside things that you can't wear a mask on.
Mm.
You know, he's opened indoor things that you can wear a mask, like going shopping at the mall at 50% capacity.
Yeah.
Because the mask, you know, the mask he thinks is what kind of stops everything. So it makes it safe. Whereas the gyms, you're not going to work out in a mask. It's not healthy or safe for you to do that. So he says it's a lot more of a risk. So we're still locked down from that. For me personally, the pictures you're talking about was like the first day of quarantine. I had some of my dad's weights. That quickly went away.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough that one of my coworkers found a lot of weights. He had like a Universal machine. He bought a Smith machine. He ended up finding like a preacher curl on Letgo and some dumbbells and some weights. So I was training in his basement. He had a cable crossover as well. I was training in his basement and I was getting pretty good workouts.
Yeah.
Enough that, listen, if they were bad workouts, I'd be complaining. And I didn't complain this entire lockdown. So they were good. There was less variety than I was used to. I was using more barbells and, you know, Smith machine presses. Much more than I usually do. I don't usually bench press with like on an incline with a barbell.
Yeah.
But it's what I had, so I was, you know, loading that, and I was very careful because I'd last time I used to tear something, and I got by with that. I also have a few other gyms that illegally let me in, you know, with I have a key for. They're not close to my house, so I go there every so often, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week for like legs or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate that those gym owners felt that, you know, I was trustworthy enough to go in there and you know, and be able to continue with what I'm doing. So I haven't had a hard time except for just the travel of how far it's been.
Okay.
My normal gym is about 10, 15 minutes from my house in my town. So obviously I want to go there, but you know, it's not, I don't know when it's going to be, and our governor hasn't mentioned anything of it opening yet.
Okay. Okay. So I know for this prep, you're working with Dave Palumbo. You had previously worked with Matt Porter. I know you guys had developed, you know, quite a good relationship. He knew you pretty well. You knew him pretty well. And so this has been a new experience for you. Tell me a little bit about what it's like working with Dave.
Yeah, Dave is, I went with Dave because I felt that one, Dave has worked not only with himself, but with many, you know, larger frame bodybuilders.
Yeah.
You know, guys, and he's maintained a lot of mass, you know, with them. And I've always had a problem in the past with maintaining mass going into the shows. Mm. I kind of got shredded really fast and then withered away.
Okay.
And that's a difference that I'm learning this prep. That's, I don't want to say it's frustrating. It's just different. So I'm like a little like questioning it a little bit. I believe it will work. I have full trust in the plan.
Yeah.
It's just different at this point. I'm 11 weeks out from the North Americans, and while I'm significantly leaner than what I was, you know, at the start of prep, usually in prep I'm like pretty diced up by this time, and then by 6 weeks I'm like almost ready to go. And this is a lot different. So I'm like, at times I've checked with a couple of my friends who are bodybuilders, and they're like, dude, chill. You're just landing the plane.
Okay.
Nice and easy over there. And then They'll take it down once 8 weeks comes out. This does not take a long time to do this. Huh. You're just not used to this.
Yeah.
And that's a learning experience. It's a lot slower because it's a lot less hectic.
Yeah.
Dave has never seemed panicked when he's looked at my pictures, and I'm like, you know, I always said, I'm like, yeah, they look like shit. And then he goes, no, they don't. He goes, you look a lot leaner in these pictures than you did last set of pictures.
Right on.
He goes, and this came off a free meal. He goes, so you lost 2 pounds after a free meal.
There you go.
I expect 3 pounds for the next check-in without a free meal. So,
yeah.
So, you know, things like that. He was very calm, and I'm a neurotic bodybuilder.
You?
Know,
you?
Oh, yes. I'm very much. That's why I could never coach myself. Huh. You know, I would double check too much on myself and say, is this the right move? Is this the right move?
Huh.
And then I probably end up going like zero carb when I out of panic. And then like, I just can't keep an objective view of what I'm doing. I'm just too biased. So I would never do it. And Dave is the ultimate. He's looked at 1,000 people like me before.
Yeah.
I'm nothing new. And I'm nothing out of the ordinary. There's nothing special about what they have to do. It's just guided.
Hmm.
Cardio cardio goes up. Well, the difference that I noticed with Dave compared to Matt, like the HIIT cardio.
Uh-huh.
Dave likes steady. Dave hates HIIT cardio.
Okay.
He likes steady state cardio. I have a treadmill that I bought in my house, put in my garage. It's a saving grace to me because I wouldn't have anywhere to do cardio, and walking on the sidewalk would not cut it.
Hmm.
Especially at the rate that I do cardio, you know, I have it in my garage. It's pretty warm. I'm sweating my balls off. I'm doing 70 minutes a day right now. So, and I love it. I actually enjoy cardio because I look at it as every time an opportunity to get leaner.
Yeah,
and I know that I sound like a fucking Boy Scout when I say that. And it was like, who the fuck likes cardio? I'm like, dude, I really want to be shredded for this show. So I really wake up and I'm like, okay, another one. If Dave's like, you're gonna do 10 more minutes. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Dude, you know, I get it. Yeah.
Like, very excited for each step that there is, even if it becomes more difficult.
You know,
I want it to go. I'm used to Matt killing me.
Hmm.
So, and I'm not there yet. I'm sure I will, you know, when I get closer to the show. But, you know, I'm used to like suffering, so to speak, under what Matt said. So whenever Dave gives me something a little bit more difficult, I'm always like, all right, sounds good. I'll let you know how it goes, you know, at the next check-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very low stress, you know, low cortisol. You know, the diet looks like about as standard as, you know, sweet potato, chicken, steak, eggs, you know, nothing. There's no cereal. There's
okay.
It's none of this new age stuff. And listen, I've used some of that new age stuff with clients of mine. You got to feel out the kind of client that you're using for something like that. If they're like a regular, new guy, and you know, they're complaining about how much the food, you know, you're trying to bulk them up, I might give them cereal post workout. It's easy to eat.
Yeah.
But Dave is really old school. Where it's like, you know, he for me right now, I lost all the waxy maze and everything like that. But my post workout is like chicken, rice, and like macadamia nut oil.
Okay.
So yeah. It's about as standard as you get. But listen, we're bodybuilding now, we're in prep. There's no time for fucking around. You shouldn't be looking for things to do that.
Yeah.
It's just whatever you say, okay. And I told Dave at the beginning, when I first inquired with him, I said, I'm a no-nonsense guy. I'm not going to ask you questions or ask you for substitutions or something. I actually referenced, I said, I'm a bit like Guy's sister Nina.
Okay.
I said, this is my priorities. This is my life, and I'm going to go 100% balls to the wall. Dave knew me from the past, but he never knew me like what I was like inside of prep.
Okay.
So I kind of just preferenced it with him. I'm like, I'm going to be very serious with you.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of
introduced cool, man.
Myself.
That's cool, man. So what are you weighing now?
I'm in the mid 280s right now.
Okay. So you're still pretty damn heavy then.
It doesn't, you know, I hit to like 284, but you know, it sticks around there. It's very heavy. I started with Dave at 305, and I think I started prep at 300.
Okay.
But it was very slow. I mean, the first month that I worked with him, there was no changes.
Really?
It was like, good. It was good. You look huge. Leave it. I'm like, you sure I don't look like that? Right? Like, it was very calm. So it wasn't like I thought that it was going to be like a 10-pound drop in the first week.
I would have expected that, man, especially the amount of weight you were holding. You would think, like, the second you – stop trying so hard, and then boom. But no, that wasn't the case, huh?
It held. However, there's still a lot to go.
I don't predict
weights or anything like that because I don't know where I'll end up.
Okay.
I've had people give me stupid weights. You're going to be 260. I'm like, the fuck I'm not. I said, Jay Cutler wasn't even 260 when the Olympia. And he's twice my size. Why would I be that? I'm the same height. I don't go by numbers like that. I think it's going to be on the lower end.
Okay.
But listen, as long as it's a good look and it's shredded, that's all that really matters to me. I do have some a ways to go. And I don't look at the prep with Dave right now as being even keeled in terms of beginning stages to the end stages. I think that Dave's entire end, I haven't got there yet, is going to be more accelerated than the weight loss that I had at the beginning.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, some guys, they lose a lot in the beginning and it tapers off, then it's like harder for them to like get to the next range of 10 pounds.
Yes.
I think Dave's is slow. And then once you get about 8 weeks out, 6 weeks out, all of a sudden the cheat meal disappears.
Yeah.
Everything goes away. You may hit like a keto days, which I'm not having right now. So and then shit gets crazy and it moves along faster. So I'm not judging what I'm doing right now to then. I'm not saying, oh, because I'm mid 280s right now, that, oh, well, there's only 11 weeks left, I'm going to be 260. I'm going to be 255. I'm not saying that either.
Yeah.
It might be a week that I might lose 7 pounds then, you know, closer to the show because we're going crazy.
Yeah.
We're on a lot more shit that's going to make me lose weight. So, you know, it's definitely a learning curve. I'm trying to like remember back even when I worked with Matt the first time. It was definitely a learning curve because Matt didn't give me a cheat meal for like the first like 16 weeks.
Really? Wow.
I think it was 4 weeks out when I had a refeed.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was like shaking and like dying by that time. So that was a learning curve though.
Yeah.
I had never prepped like that before. I always prep cheat meals in the beginning and then they go away at the end when you get leaner. Matt was the opposite. No cheat meals in the beginning because you're eating all this food. Food goes away. You get shredded. Now you're flat, and then you get a little bit.
Sure.
So it's just all different. And I paid this guy. I trust for the trust and his knowledge. So I'm doing that, you know, to the T. That's including the drugs. You know, we've spoken before. Like a lot of guys change their drug protocols, or they amplify what their coach says. Their coach.
Oh yeah.
Take 1,000 milligrams of test, and they're taking 1,500. If they say take 350 trend, they're taking 700. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm doing what Dave says because I think that it all intertwines with everything.
Mm.
I think that this is the lowest drugs that I've used ever.
Really?
And that's not looking back and saying Matt made me do a lot of drugs.
No, of course not.
But one thing, I used to ask Matt to use more. And he would say, if you're comfortable using it, then you can.
Okay.
With Dave, I said when I went into this, I said, you know what? I know his drug protocol is going to be lower than what I've used before.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow him because I think that the less toxicity from less drugs will produce a better, crisper, leaner look rather than just like a kind of a toxic drug body up there. And I think that with the new mask that I've put on, that could be a good combination. So I'm going to follow it, you know, with that, you know, exactly what he says.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, this would be a great experiment in my mindset for myself. I've always come at it like you had said initially, that like you get ready early, then 6 weeks out, you know, you're already there. But I could see, especially for a guy, the bigger you are, the harder it is to hold on to all the muscle you have. So I could see, man, if you were already, say, shredded at 6 weeks out, what's the chance you're really going to be able to hold that? I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but this will be an interesting experiment to see, you know, you guys start at 8 weeks out to really start pushing possibly harder and then get it in and bring it in at that, you know, basically that last minute then maybe you won't have the opportunity to lose as much size. It could be really to your advantage, man. I'll be really excited to see how that unfolds.
That's what, you know, that's what the plan has been all along. I've never gone on stage. And it's not that you need to be skin splitting full on stage. Mm. You still need to have all the details.
Yeah.
But I've always been flat.
Yeah.
I've always felt that I over dieted even before Matt. And I just never felt on stage like I was big when the guys that I was losing to, I always felt like in the off season I would overpower them. Huh. Walking around And then all of a sudden I get on stage and I'm like, I'm skinnier than them. Like, what? Something's wrong in the process. Even Brent Swanson came up to me in 2018 and he goes, dude, you're shredded, but your body just looks tired up there. Huh. Like worn out. He goes, it's like a tired look. And yeah. I agreed with him. I knew that even before he said that.
Huh.
It's almost like it was just, you know, it just kind of like forced down and yeah. It like wasn't fed up enough. I don't know if we could have even fed me more to bring it back. I think it was just like mangled coming down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different approach now. You just got to, like, you know, even my buddy said, they like, Dave's not going to send you up there fat. They stay calm. He goes, you know, what do you think? You never seen anything like this? He's not sending you there fat.
Yeah.
He goes, you'll get there. He goes, and it will come on quick. He goes, this is all part of the plan. You know, I even things are starting to click real nice though. I started now getting to the point where, like, all right, I'm looking kind of lean. I'm looking a lot. I felt in the gym yesterday, training. I was like, I look pretty separated right now. And then it's very weird though. I do my blood sugars every day with Dave. I've even asked him not to, because I said, I'm a neurotic. It makes me annoyed. It's very annoying. He goes, I don't like where they're at. And when he said that, they were like mid to low 90s fasting.
Okay, fast. That's first thing in the morning, fasted, no right, food.
And he was like, and I was like, Dave, they're not bad. We're not taking a lot of GH. I said, do you think that – hang on.
Sure.
I said, Dave, can I not like – look those up, because I'm like a kind of neurotic. He goes, no, I want you to have, I don't like where they are. Just this week, once I started feeling leaner, all of a sudden routinely in the 80s.
Really?
So yes. So it's kind of like he knew like what, that's what he was looking for. Huh. And I'm sure once I get shredded, you will see low 80s, high 70s, which will be extremely, that's great. And it's very good for me.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm a guy in off season who runs average high 90s.
Okay. So like almost borderline then. You're coming close.
Yes. Like any blood work that I've gotten, I've always been like 98, and the doctors have never like ever like blinked or got weird about it.
Yeah.
However, from a bodybuilding standpoint, it's not that good.
Why is that?
They think like you just don't absorb nutrients as much in layman's terms as well. Yeah. As if it's lower. Your body's better ready to receive food better.
Yeah.
However, from a medical standpoint, doctors won't blink at all from that. I don't even believe that they'll blink that much if it was like 105. You get over like 116 fasted.
Yeah.
Now they're talking pre-diabetes.
Yeah. Okay.
And stuff like that. And that's coming from, actually, I heard that from Chris Tuttle, whose father is a physician.
Okay.
And Chris used to be a very voice of reason in terms of the blood sugar. He goes, dude, my dad has said, he goes, he wouldn't even blink an eye if he saw a guy with 101 fasting blood sugar,
yeah.
From a medical standpoint. He goes, and I spoke to a doctor who got blood work from, you know, she gave me a phone consult after she got, she goes, you were 98 and you're on growth hormone? And I said, yes. And she was like, then I'm definitely not worried. Goes, that's pushing it up there.
Yeah.
You come off that for a month, 2 months, and she goes, and it'll go back. So you're not even really flirting with diabetes. Obviously, GH can push it up to the point where it can start blunting out overwork your pancreas.
Sure.
That's not good. However, it's not like you are taking nothing and your fasting blood sugars are just high.
Yeah.
That would be more of an indication of you're actually on the borderline or a type 2 diabetic.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm not there, but it's just crazy to see as you lean down, it goes how much, like you see it like going down. I have logs and log books of fasting blood sugars, postprandial blood sugars. I don't know what I'm ever going to use them for. It's not like I'm going to graph them or anything.
Yeah.
I just like to know where I am. I get neurotic over things that I could test. Mm. Obviously, I can't test my liver enzyme, but if there was something for that, I probably would know what my liver enzyme and probably be freaking out about them if they were high. So it's probably better that I don't know, and I only periodically know when I go for blood work.
Yeah, you know, the whole tired look too. I imagine that having just lower gear overall is going to be to your benefit. There's that look, and I don't know exactly, you know, the only way I can describe it is that it's like that drugged out look when you see someone, it's like a quality of their skin that just doesn't look healthy, you know, when somebody's been on stuff for a really long period of time. And how do you feel overall? Like, you know that, But how do you feel at the same time keeping the doses lower than you ever have in the past? Even though you know that it could be to your benefit, is there part of you that's like, man, I want to ramp this up?
Yeah, and as it came recently, I was running the front half of this test and EQ.
Okay.
You know, GH, I ran the T3, but for gear wise, test and EQ, and they were at decent doses. Nothing that I would. It's lower than what I usually used, but not low enough where I'd be like, this is low.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like that. I was never bothered by it. But I recently switched the EQ out yesterday for Tren and Masteron propanate.
Okay.
And, you know, Tren's low, like low, not even like half of what I was using, half of that. So
really,
you know, I'll say it's 50 milligrams every other day.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And that is the lowest that I've ever used, even as a novice. Hmm. Like when I was still a gym head, that was just kind of ran my first trend cycle was 350, 100 every other day.
Yeah.
And then it progressed to higher than that in preps and stuff. And I've always had a very hard look, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with it.
Sure.
However, that's what Dave told me.
And that's
what I'm going to follow.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it will work out well. You know, it's a, you know, taking a little bit less trend is not necessarily a bad thing.
Sure.
For health, but I don't think that has everything to do with it. There's also differences from past preps. Past preps, I didn't use halotestin.
Okay.
I have not used halotestin since 2013.
No kidding. Okay.
And who the hell knows if it was real, for one? Because halotestin is widely fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have not used halotestin. Matt hated halotestin. He said halotestin only really came out when Tren was very hard to come by.
Back
So guys kind of started supplementing halotestin, but Tren's a far superior drug. So Matt preferred Tren over the halotestin.
Okay.
Now, from my understanding, I haven't got that far yet. We're using the trend now. I'm probably going to use some halotestin at the end of this prep.
Okay.
So you won't need as much trend. You don't need
sure
a ton of trend, and then halotestin on there, and they expect to like operate in society because you'll probably flip a car over. Like, you know what I mean? So it all will work it out. And Dave has done this for so long that
yeah
he's got this shit mapped out.
Yeah,
and that's what I needed. I just needed somebody to like land the plane.
Yeah.
Drive the ship or sail the ship, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
So, and not think about it. My job is to lift weights, eat the food, and get on the treadmill, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, don't question shit. The only questions I ask Dave are clarification on protocols, like, should I split my cardio? Here's what my workout looks like. Should I split it or should I do it all in the morning? Like upkeep type things like that. I never ask him. Even, and he'll tell me if I do, but I never ask him, what do you think the benefit of using lower trend would be? Like, I don't really care for the science. I'm not bothering him about that. This is not like a seminar.
Yeah.
This is just tell me what to do and I'll do it right. And then we'll get there and I'll check in with you on the next thing. That's partially, I'm also like that because I have my own clients.
And yeah.
They ask me a million questions and it's, And I'm like, I'll answer them because that's why I'm there. And Dave would answer them because that's why he's there.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm like, dude, just fucking eat the chicken.
Well, listen, too, if you follow the plan, you will get the answer by looking at your results, too. There's that, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily need to ask. You're just going to trust in what he says to do. Mm-hmm. You're going to see the results. So if it works, then it's like, I think it's a lot of times too, and I mean, because I do the same thing with people. If they want an explanation on something, I try to explain, you know, because I'm sure like you, it's like we want to educate people. You know, that's part of like, I feel like you're an educator. You know, part of what you do is you bodybuild, but you also help other people to be their best as well, you know, through, you know, talking and inspiring. You do like a lot of inspiring, especially like with animals, you know, but there's an amount of like, if you just listen, then you'll get the results and then you'll see for yourself. And that's very different than getting a seminar, you know, being able to actually live the experience. You're going to come through this learning a lot, you know, for better or worse.
Sure. Oh yeah. I mean, I've had clients, you know, that a lot of clients come to me, they're gym heads. They might not be competitors. I only have one competitor.
Okay.
And I started off as a bulking competitor, and then he would go to another person for prep.
Okay.
And then he ended up just sticking with me for prep. And I even warned him. I was like, hey, man, I never prepped anybody. I would not feel bad if you went to somebody else.
Yeah.
I said, I just want to give you that. He goes, no, I want to try it with you.
That's cool.
As long as you – and we did – he won a show. He took third in another one in the first year. So, and he's a good bodybuilder too. He's not a scrub. So, you know, it was good learning. We did kind of a dual thing where – he would give me feedback. He goes, I think that we should do this, or we shouldn't do HIIT cardio because I've done that and my legs disappeared. Okay. I said, so we worked more together than me as a dictator.
Yeah.
But a lot of the clients I have are people off Instagram that see the pictures and like, dude, I want to get huge like you. And I said, sure. And I always have to down the line have the talk. They're usually pretty fat when I get them or like overweight. And I say, listen, I'm going to give you this diet and we're going to recomp first. And they're like, well, I kind of wanted to just mass up. And I'm like, yes, but you're already completely insulin resistant.
Right.
You have too high of body fat. And if I piled calories on top, you're going to get more fat. I said, you're not going to build any more muscle tissue.
Yeah.
I said, and so sometimes they get a little frustrated. They question me, not in a rude way, but they question me. And then I've had one guy, I had to give him a whole speech about, he goes, why am I not like looking like you? And I was like, dude, this is 13 years, man. I said, you've been lifting for 1 year.
Yeah.
I said, this is 13 years of like, I can count the number of meals that I've missed.
Yeah.
I can definitely count the number of times I've missed the gym and, you know, and stuff like that. I said, I've left funerals to train. I've missed a lot of things. I said, it's different. I'm not saying that you can't do that. I would never tell somebody they can't do that, but this is not going to happen even in a few years.
Sure.
This isn't about, and he wasn't all into drugs either, but I mentioned, I said, this isn't about drugs. It helps, but this isn't more of about consistency and obsession. And I said, and these are like things that you shouldn't be worried in our first month working together.
Yeah.
I said, you have a good base. I said, you might even have a better base than I had back then. But it's gonna take a lot of time, and you gotta understand how the body works in terms of, I just can't put like milkshakes on your diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like big. I said, if you were a really skinny guy, then maybe yeah. But you're not. I said, you're kind of a little bit overweight. And like, it was hard to tell him that, like, but he understood and he's still with me.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I'm going to follow what you say. So, you know, it's kind of hard that's the niche of people that I attract. When I say I have clients, I have like less than 10.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so I don't have a lot, but they're all, it's all the same thing as, bro, your goals. I wanted to do that. I said, listen, we can start you up with it. With that, I'll help you get bigger. You know, and a lot of things that a lot of you guys are doing, they're overtraining. They're in the gym too often.
Yeah. Okay.
I always drop them down to 4 days.
Really? Really?
And I go, really? I'm like, yeah, man. I'm like, I explained my situation. I said, that was one of the biggest reasons I got so big on this off season was going to the gym 4 days a week instead of five or six.
Are you still training four times now or what?
Five now.
Okay. What was your reasoning for increasing that?
I just brought it out to let him know that I was going to the gym 4 days a week. I gave him my split. He goes, let's go five, split chest and shoulders up.
Okay.
So I have my own shoulder day and my own chest day and my own arm day, leg day and back day. So it's like a bro split now.
Okay.
And I actually like it. The chest and shoulder day was a little difficult because I would do chest first because it's weaker than my shoulders. And then you, like a normal person wants to do shoulder pressing too.
Yeah.
And like now you got to like double up on all this pressing and stuff. It's a long workout.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just happy that I can go in for shoulders. I hit usually one big compound lift of pressing and then I do my raises and I did it in an hour yesterday. So I like that. Chest is a little bit more traumatic because I do a lot more heavy lifting. Usually one heavy hammer strength press and one usually dumbbell press. I don't really barbell press except for in this quarantine because I had a Smith machine available. But once the gyms open up, I'm going back to the dumbbell presses.
What kind of weight do you move on your dumbbell presses out of curiosity?
The best set I've ever done on dumbbell presses flat, 160s for nine.
160s for nine, nice.
160s for nine, and Frank Manarino is there. And then he told me to go for the 180s because the 160s for nine looked easy. I kicked it back, got caught, and popped. Like, I couldn't tell if it was my pec or bicep, but like right in that armpit area.
Yeah.
And it was like a little, and I dropped the weight and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
It was only a strain. It went away in about a week, but I looked, I'm like, you motherfucker, man.
Thanks a lot, Frank. I'm like, thanks a lot.
Yeah. He felt a little bad, but it was, I knew it was minor. It just was very like upsetting because like, you know, I was pressing really strong before that. So it came back, but you got to be careful with those things. When you get to weight like that, you know, they're like more unforgiving, you know, when you get like that.
Dude, one wrong turn or whatever, you know, your wrist could just snap or whatever. And it's just a lot of weight, man. That's a lot of weight to be holding.
Did you see the guy, Julius Maddox, powerlifter on ESPN yesterday, going for 800-pound raw bench press?
No kidding.
They misloaded the weight on live television. They put an extra 25-kilogram plate on the one side. So he unracked it with, it was like 8-something. And they put, he didn't go into the press. They put it back, I think, because they realized it. It didn't count as an attempt. He had to reset, calm down, and you know, get some time break. Then he went for his 800-pound attempt, and he got it off the chest, and then his like right arm went down a little bit, and they ended up saying that he strained his pec.
Okay.
Not bad, but can you imagine having that weight over you? If you're out of form, even 1 centimeter, that could create some kind of weird trigger in your body and fuck your whole life up.
Yeah,
I don't care how many spotters you have around you. So it just goes to show you that it's all relative for everybody. With that guy's 800 pounds, it's probably what 180-pound dumbbells feel like, you know, for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I obviously probably wouldn't do that, even though I'm still training heavy, strong. I'm trying to speed up my workouts a bit.
Okay.
So my rest times are about 45 seconds now.
Okay.
So I'm moving it. I enjoy the hot weather right now with – when I go to gyms, I hope they don't have air conditioning.
No kidding, man.
Which like the nice gyms, they will. I don't like it cold like that. I like the sweatshop thing where I'm like just like pouring.
Yeah.
You know, and I can like, just jump in the shower after. You just don't see a lot of those gyms anymore. But like during this quarantine, we're trying to get in workouts in people's basements, you know, sneaking into certain gyms that let us in. Obviously, you're not going to have the air conditioning on when nobody's there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of – I like it. Where it's like, holy shit.
Well, listen too. It's like I really feel like this has brought out the people who love bodybuilding, and I'm not just talking about competing. But it's like if you love it, you're gonna find a way. Whether you were in your garage on day one with you know a couple of crappy old dumbbells, or you know or beyond that, as you got more resources, we get creative. You know, if you love this sport enough, you get creative. It'll be interesting to see you know what happens here. We talked a little bit about it before the show. I mean. There's really not going to be like a lot of shows before North Americans. Mm. So, I mean, you know, it could be jammed. There could be a lot, which would be a fantastic thing, man. Yeah. Or maybe people just decided like, I'll wait till next year. You know,
it's going to be completely up in the air. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I know a handful of guys doing North Americans, but they probably were doing that before this whole thing happened. And it just was far enough away where like they figured, okay, it's probably on. You know, whereas like the earlier shows weren't, but these ones were, that one was kind of farther enough away. However, I have to qualify 3 weeks before, and that's going to be at the New Jersey State. And if that didn't go on, I wasn't sure if it was. I still don't know if it is.
Yeah.
I was going to go to the Lehigh Valley a week before that. That's in Pennsylvania. They just canceled that yesterday.
They
postponed it to November. That doesn't help me.
Okay.
So now I'm like really closely watching this New Jersey State because that's 3 weeks. And I'm like, I know that I can get to another state and go to like one of these like offbeat states and travel a little bit and get into a show quick.
Sure.
I just have to be like ready to jump for it and not jump for the new, like they got to give us enough notice. If they're going to cancel this.
Yeah.
I think the North Americans will be decent. I think the Nationals will be packed.
Yeah.
In November. Yeah. I think that everybody that was going to do USA's is going to do that. And honestly, I don't know how the USA's in December is going to go. Mm. It's a week before the Olympia. It's in LA. I don't even know if they're going to let it, to be honest with you. And it's really far out there, and not too many people like to diet until December.
Yeah, they're through Christmas or basically right up to it and past Thanksgiving.
So that show might be a consideration for some people to sneak in.
Huh, yeah.
You know, and come for that. Like I said, I think the North America, this is the first year where all three pro qualifiers are going to be all like in a line.
Yeah.
Most people don't do all three of them because they're so far apart. If you're prepping for the USAs, normally it's in July.
Right.
You start your diet in January, maybe February. Okay. Say you started in February and then you go to you hit the USAs, you don't turn pro. You say, okay, I'm going to go to the North Americans from July to September.
Yeah.
That's about another 6 or 7 weeks. So you got to go there. And then after the North Americans, it's about 10 weeks to Nationals in November. So you've gone from now November to February.
Hmm.
So you're looking at 9 months of dieting, rarely having breaks because the shows aren't far enough apart.
Yeah.
It's not like they're 16 weeks apart. So this is the first year where they're all like really close. I know the Nationals is 10 weeks after the North Americans, and then that's Thanksgiving. So I guess in another 4 or 5 weeks will be the USAs.
That's pretty close, man. That's pretty close.
Actually, and if you think about it, a lot of people may go do USAs also because if they don't turn pro at the Nationals, but they were close, they might take a shot at that because they're already in shape. 4 more weeks and then call it quits. So
if you say didn't nail exactly how you wanted to look, mm-hmm. would there be any chance that you'd want to continue hold on?
I would hold on for Nationals.
Okay.
And go the 10 weeks, and that comes. You know, I've thought about that thoroughly. That comes to how the outcome is.
Yeah,
if
of course.
I'm close. If I look good, if it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And then, it just didn't go my way.
Yeah.
Then I would. If I got like third call out and got freaking steamrolled, and I'm just not ready for this level yet. Then no, I'm not going to.
Sure.
Then I regroup and. You know, we go into 2021 and maybe rethink where we're going with it and what level I'm actually at.
325.
I honestly don't know if it'd be worth it to go like that again.
Yeah.
I think that you could stay at a leaner 285.
Mm, okay.
You got to remember, this was also a 2-year off season.
Yes.
This was the last time I was on stage was Junior Nationals 2018.
Yeah.
So. This past June was 2 years exactly since I've been on stage. So it's been a long time to hold that sort of size on. I won't have that kind of off season going into 2021.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be lean by the time we hit these shows in the fall. And then you got a short break. You come around and even if it was like the USA's in 2021, you got to start dieting in February.
We lost Gary and I lost signal. So we're back. We were about to wrap up anyway. Gary, I wanted to throw in too, if the show does not happen in New Jersey, you're welcome to stay here. I got a place for you. We are doing, I think, the Kuklo Classic like 1 week before North American. So
okay,
here so in Detroit.
That would be 10 weeks out?
I think so. So last ditch, you know, scenario, if you need it. Come out here. Hopefully we'll be open, man.
There's like, you know, it's tough because you don't know what the gatherings type thing that was, mm-hmm. that's really the whole thing is like, there's the Delaware State that's coming up in August. That's like right in line for that.
Yeah.
However, and Delaware gyms are open, but just because the gyms are open doesn't mean that their venues are going to allow X amount of people in there. Personally, yeah. I don't care where. I don't care if it's in the freaking VFW basement. I don't care if it's outside. I don't care. Just let me get on there. Let me do the thing. And then let me get into the North Americans because that will probably be on.
Yeah.
Because those ones are the ones that are going to make the money. And that's kind of like – that's the other concern with the whole thing is that the local shows, there's if they're going to have not a lot of people, the promoters are going to say maybe they'll cancel it
because
they're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
So – this is an ongoing thing is how much these promoters really love the sport as opposed to how much they're businessmen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that it's both, but the real question is will these local shows be able to get off the ground only because they're not going to get that many people? You know, the national shows are one, they're way more expensive to like enter.
Yeah.
But they're also more expected to rent out. But the prestige behind them is, you know, I don't think that those are going to get affected.
Yeah.
Just like when everyone called me crazy saying, they're not going to have the Olympia this year. I'm like, what are you talking about? Unless the coronavirus shows up like how it did in March and April,
yeah.
which I don't think that it will, then, you know, I think that for sure they are. I still don't know how they're going to have the expo. Mm. They just announced that the expo is happening at the Sands.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, that's also a long time away from there. There's a lot has changed even in the last couple of months, like for the better, and it could change for the better then. So like, it's very hard to predict the future. You know, there's the people who are very like pessimistic,
yeah,
who think that this is not going to be done until 2 years from now. All right, the fuck it isn't. But what? And then two, it's like then the other people who think that it's all going to happen. Like, and an expo is very tough to do.
Yeah, I could see that.
Compared to a bodybuilding show, I mean, like honestly, just let us on the stage. Hmm. Just the judges with the masks. Let's do whatever temperature check we have to do, and just let us do it, and then maintain, you know, what we have left.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a fucked up year. And if I didn't take off last year, I probably would have taken off this year.
Sure.
And they would, that would have been fine. But everyone's like, well, you know, you can just wait till 2021. I'm like, man, I've been waiting since 2018.
Yeah. It's been a long off season for you.
It's been a long time. And I can't go like this cut is also probably healthy for me.
Sure.
I needed this cut down.
Yeah.
I needed to alleviate some of the weight off me and stuff like that. And then, you know, of course, when you build back up, it's going to be leaner. You know? A lot of guys, and myself included, are proponents of the rebound phase.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I agree with that.
So that rebound phase really creates like a new bodybuilder in there, because you look a certain way that you've never looked at. It probably is unachievable at just bulking or cutting. So it's like cutting down will help you.
I agree,
you know?
Man.
So
I agree.
Doing shows, not too many, but not too less, will help you also. I don't really believe in people should do 5-year off seasons.
Right.
That's mostly unproductive. But, you know, there's a way you do mini cuts. Dude, there's a way difference between doing a cleanup mini cut and doing a whole contest prep and then bouncing back 20 pounds out of the hole like that.
I totally agree. So
that's the best time to be a bodybuilder. I love that first week back in the gym.
Yeah. Listen, now, for anybody who hasn't watched the other episodes we've done, I mean, I feel like everybody who's a follower of Advices Radio and Think Big had. But if they hadn't, Gary, tell them a little bit about what you do. Tell them about Animal.
Yeah. I work for Animal, the you know, the sports supplement company, Animal Pack. I work in the office. I am the writer. So I do all the social media copywriting. I do a lot of the articles, a lot of the motivational stuff that you see, the hardcore quotes that come out of there is really my brain. If you ever look at my own personal Instagram and then you look at their Instagram, they look similar. And that's because, well, Animal preaches authenticity. So what you're getting is actually an authentic person that's not, you know, writing a fiction. You know, I'm just writing as me. It just has the Animal name on it because it goes hand in hand.
Hell yeah.
So that's what I do. I'm sponsored with them as a bodybuilder. That was a role that I took on 2 years ago. When I first started working for them, I wasn't, but then I got offered that, 2 years ago. So I've been handling that as a bodybuilder, you know, videoing and stuff like that. So that's a lot of fun. And you know, it's the kind of job that I never feel like I go to work.
I bet.
I really enjoy it. And a lot of people, they ask me like, why do you live in New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
If you hate it so much, you know, the governor's locking everything down. You know, I've always said I want to move to Texas or something like that. And I said, because I don't want to leave my job.
Hmm.
I said I like my job. They will not offer me a remote position.
Yeah.
They need me in the office. So here we are, you know, staying in New Jersey. And that's, you know, that I do like that because I didn't always work for them, and I hated it. I had left there at the end of December 2018 and lasted 1 month. At a company that was outside the industry, and I called them back after a month, and they offered me a position, and back I took it. I quit the other job within a month.
Nice.
And it just was like a real eye opening experience that not every job is equal, and getting a job that you're happy with is such a stress reliever compared to hating driving to a job every day.
Yeah.
It's really not just about the paycheck. You're going to want to get a job that you enjoy, but will also give you at least a decent paycheck. I'll never sell out for a job I hate for a little bit more money.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to be a lot of money. And even then I still would question it, just because regardless what your bank account looks like, you still have to wake up and go there. You know, yeah. You might be yelled at by bosses. You might absolutely hate what you're doing, you know, and then maybe you can enjoy your money like for a few hours a day or on the weekend or something like that. But other than that, you're sitting in the fucking office.
Yeah.
So is it really worth it? You know, so I look at it as just a learning experience, but that's what I do for Animal.
That's cool, man.
I've been doing it since 2013.
You guys have a podcast now too, right?
Yep. My buddy, he's a coworker, Joe Percher. We run a podcast through Animal. We do interviews with our athletes. We've recently had a lot of the athletes and their coaches on. So we had Derek Lunsford and James Brown on there.
Nice.
So we're going over some of the stuff for the Olympia. We recently had John Jewett on there. We couldn't get his coach, Andrew Vu, on there, but we were planning on it. So, you know, we run that. Right now we're doing all the Skype, Zoom call type thing that we're doing right here.
Yeah.
But normally we do it. We have a studio in the office before this whole thing happened and we left the office.
Yeah.
We used to set the cameras up and our film crew, you know, kind of how Joe Rogan's is where he
sets that's the so cool, man. There. Yeah.
And then he would, you know, we have microphones in the whole nine and then he would edit and slice everything up, you know, back and forth between the people speaking. And, it was really good, but you know, we're hoping to get back in the office sometime after July 4th.
Okay.
Is what they're telling us. And then we're going to see if we can get it going again. We've done a good job maintaining it, you know, while we're on the, working from home.
Yeah.
But it's so much better when you're in the studio.
Yeah, that would be sweet, man. I'll definitely look forward to checking some of those out. We'll have links to your podcast down in the description, as well as links to your social media. And if anybody doesn't know Animal, doesn't follow Animal, then we'll have links to those guys too. So Gary, man, I appreciate your time, brother. It's always a pleasure having you on because you're a guy that freaking loves, I'm not even going to call it the sport of bodybuilding, but you just love bodybuilding, period, all the aspects of it. And so to talk to you is always refreshing. Thank you, man.